The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Experiment gone rogue, a Chinese version launching at a fraction of the cost of its U.S. competitors. U.S. tech stocks are booming, yet worries of that bubble bursting persist. Throw in concerns about how many jobs will be lost by the rapid advance of AI, and you have a summary of news relating to artificial intelligence in the past week or so. Well, one man has been watching all of this quite closely for some time is Steve Keane, economist and honorary professor at University College London. He joins me now. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, a fundamental question. Are we in an AI tech bubble?
Oh, absolutely. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And this is a typical thing that happens in capitalist economies. When a new technology comes in, numerous people dive in expecting to be the one that dominates the market for the foreseeable future. And you get massive overinvestment. Then you have a boom while the overinvestment is occurring and a slump afterwards.
The survivor of all of this, or the survivors, there will probably be one or two or three or four maybe. I presume those are the ones with the deepest pockets.
You never can tell because it depends on how much they actually put into it. But like if we're looking at the level of revenue coming in right now for AI companies, the revenue is about 1/10 of their costs on average. Now some are going to be 20 times, others are going to be 5 times, and you don't know how deep their pockets are either. So there's no real way of identifying in advance who's going to fail. But it's inevitable that the majority of companies that have gone into this will fail, and there'll be a handful of survivors. The technology will permeate through society, but it'll do so in a slump that is caused by the decline in spending by these companies once they've built their technologies, and by these technologies underwriting other industries. And of course, in the case of AI, it's underwriting a lot of people's jobs.
Do investors not learn from history? You know, the dot-com bubble that happened and so many casualties from that. Are they not wary that they might be doing it all again?
They never do. I once gave a presentation on my model of financial instability and booms and busts following Hyman Minsky's what he calls financial instability hypothesis. And I walked out of the room with a typical economist, mainstream economist, and he said to me, "Steve, the difference between you and me is I believe people learn from their mistakes." And I replied to him saying, "Yes, Andrew, and the other difference between you and me is I believe that people forget and die."
And indeed, we were, you know, reflecting on how quickly people can forget, looking at the lessons of history from wars and all of that. They do forget quickly. They do not learn the lessons of history until it's happened again.
That's right. And we're going through it yet again. And there should be some, you know, intelligence absorbing this. But in fact, conventional economics helps us forget this stuff because they come out with this mythology saying that markets are forward looking and anticipate the future and that everything reaches equilibrium. Nothing could be further from the truth in terms of a description of how a capitalist economy actually functions.
Now, in the past, when you had a capitalist economy at full throttle, developing whatever it might be in whatever industry, you'd look to America as being the driving force, throwing money and resources at something until it happens. But now there's a newbie in the market, China.
Yeah. And this is, I'm disrupting everything because most American companies expect American companies to dominate the forthcoming market. But as you're saying, the technological level of China now in many areas exceeds that of America. And it appears that the constraints that they face, which are different to what the Americans face, are leading them to produce lower cost and much less expensive versions of AI with virtually the same functionality as the Americans. So in terms of who's leading in terms of revenue versus costs, it's Chinese companies at the moment, and they may end up winning this battle, leaving a wreckage in America.
Now, I wanted to ask you about how likely it is that China could become a global force in AI, because people will point to, you know, the concerns both in Britain and in the United States, particularly about Huawei. So those products were banned in the telecoms infrastructure, and they may be saying, we cannot trust Chinese AI because they'll simply steal our lunch.
Well, they were going to lose their lunch anyway. And if, I mean, the extent to which we've got to worry about China because it's going to do foreign spying and maybe invade a few countries. If you want to go on track records, I'd be afraid of America, not China.
Okay, now, what AI needs, it appears to me, it needs three things. It needs investment of money, it needs an available source of energy, and it needs water. Who is best equipped to deal with these three necessities?
In all those cases, it's China. China has, because it's, I mean, I think a part of why China is doing what it's doing is its memory of the 19th century when it was effectively raped by the colonial powers in what's called the century of humiliation by the Chinese, when the Americans and British and French forced China to allow the importing of opium from those countries because those countries couldn't make anything in terms of decent goods and services that would be desired by Chinese consumers. So they forced China to put up with opium importing and ruined those countries. So they've built buffers for themselves. They have enormous energy reserves. They've got a more effective electric grid than America has. All these factors mean that China is actually ahead in this game rather than behind.
So the question is, will Europe embrace Chinese AI technology, or is it already too much enthralled to the United States?
I think it's too much enthralled to the United States. And the ideology that seems to dominate policymaking in the West these days is just breathtaking because you look at how people in government worry about China and worry about, countries America's invading. The public is worried about countries. They're worried about America itself and looking at what's happening in Gaza and happening in Iran. And the public and the gap between the public and the its so-called political representative these days, I think, is wider than it's ever been. So it's we are being encouraged to fear the wrong people. And I would actually rather put up with China on that front than American corporations.
To what extent are the scales falling from the eyes of ordinary Americans? You know, they have always believed in the heroic vision of the United States, you know, the honest broker, high moral ground. Uh-huh. And yet it's been pretty much consistently at war since its very beginning.
Yeah, America has been the most warlike empire almost in the history of humanity because, as you say, virtually every year America's been involved in a war somewhere, and we get the anti-war president elected, and what does he do? He starts wars. So Americans still believe they're the dominant country on the planet. They are still the most powerful in terms of nuclear weapons, but we're now seeing that they're unable to project their power in Iran. They're being defeated by economic warfare in the sense that the weapons that Iran's using to fight back are an order of 1,000 times cheaper than the weapons they're being attacked by. And America's lost its technological lead. There are many industries now on which China is more advanced than America. And when you look at what's called the Index of Economic Complexity, which is a Harvard University computer project to show how sophisticated various economies are, China now well and truly outranks America.
Now, the question is when this will happen. I mean, the very definition of a bubble, when you think you blow soap bubbles through the air and you've no idea when that bubble will pop, but pop it does eventually. So how can we discern when the bubble, the AI bubble, is likely to burst?
Well, you're right. Getting the timing, the inevitability is given. So it's 100% sure that the bubble will burst. But as to when, the timing is the issue. I think it's going to be in the next 1 or 2 years, possibly even earlier than that. Because, of course, as well as having the bubble and that bursting, we've got the damage being done to the global economy by the war in Iran. We've got climate change affecting the availability of water and power. So all this stuff is likely to happen in the next year. And it'll be a rude wake-up call for America. There's no way that America is prepared for this.
So the impact of the tech stocks going belly up, or many of them going belly up, how will that affect the global economy?
Well, I mean, I think we have all sorts of reasons for a stock market crash this year. And the main one I actually focus on is what's happening in Iran and the damage to the production facilities of the planet, because essential inputs for production, not just oil, but fertilizer, sulfuric acid, helium, lubrication oil, all these things have been destroyed by the war in Iran. And that's going to mean a huge slump. So I think no matter what happens, there's got to be a stock market crash this year, and AI will be collateral damage in the middle of all that.
And then the global economy will suffer. What does that mean for me and you?
Well, booms and busts are basically the nature of capitalism. So we're going to go through another boom and bust sequence. But the really dangerous one this time round is that the war has damaged the production productive capacity of the economy. And when you have huge levels of private debt, and it's private debt, which is the largest debt in the global economy by far, far larger than government debt, private institutions have to make income from selling goods and services to service the debt that they have. Now, many countries, companies are going to find they simply can't do it. Individuals will lose their jobs as well. They won't be able to service their mortgages. So this just implies a serious downturn, and one which is very hard to recover from, because it's not just the financial sector that's caused this. It's the damage to the productive capability of the planet that's happening because of the war in Iran. And there is no easy way to repair that. You can't just turn on the flow of helium like it can turn on the flow of cash.
Does it matter who's in the White House? Does it matter who wins the midterms?
Oh, we've got to get rid of Donald Trump. I mean, anybody who doesn't realize that, I think, is a fool. Trump is a ridiculous wild card that made the system even less stable than it would be in his absence. So Trump has to go. But the question is, how does he go? And I'm actually worried whether there will be elections in November. I've got a feeling he's setting up to give an excuse not to hold the elections.
The final question is about how AI is already beginning to permeate every aspect of our lives. And you've said that no matter how many of these companies collapse, AI will proceed, whether it's Chinese or American or European, and become part of the way we live. What about the future for jobs?
Well, this is the biggest challenge that AI faces, because in many ways employment exists because it's too difficult to make machines to replace humans to do those jobs. If companies could replace humans with machines, they'd do it. Now, what AI implies is a capacity to eliminate, you know, something of the order of at least half all clerical jobs, and it could also eliminate, it's depending on how robotics is done, and there's huge physical supply constraints on the possibility of making enough robots to do this, but robots can replace unskilled labour. So one of the reasons the majority of population got an income was because they were essential for production and they could sell their labour time. That will no longer be possible if AI really does permeate the economy, which means that to enable people to stay alive, there has to be something like a universal basic income. And even Elon Musk talks about that and calls it a universal high income. But that's such a huge ideological shift for Western economies. They're going to struggle to do it. I think we're more likely to see a Hunger Games outcome. China, on the other hand, because it has that socialist background, is more likely to distribute the gains from improved productivity with AI to its overall population. So I think China, again, is better equipped to handle this than America is.
But if I'm a capitalist making stuff that I'm selling currently at a profit to people, and suddenly the people I'm trying to sell to don't have an income to buy my stuff, surely that's the end of my business.
It is. And in that situation, the only way out is to have the government create the money, which, of course, the conventional economists and most right-wing commentators are trying to prevent. That's what I find quite ironic. The only way that you can have AI replacing labour and basically giving us leisure time would be if the government money created the money that we then get to spend at these large corporations. But they're all fighting against that. So you've got this, you know, terrible does-not-computer effect coming out of trying to bring in computers to take over their production system.
Final question, Steve. How am I going to sleep tonight?
As badly as I do.
Steve Keane, economist and honorary professor at University College London. Steve, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
You're welcome.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.